An homage to dreams in a language we no longer remember. Written by Nine Fish. Read by Mistborn Hero. Fandom of Star Wars Andor. The night Cassian dreamed entirely in basic, a part of him felt like it died. He was 10 years old. He had only been gone from his home for a little over a year, and the flowing rhythms of his mother tongue were fading into impressions in his mind. Instead, he dreamt of hard angles and vast expanses of cold space. Long gone were the gentle rivers and lush forests of his home world. Basic felt weird in his mouth. The words were clunky, lopsided, with spaces where there shouldn't be, and always amused silence after he finished speaking. Marva had dedicated much of her time to teaching him, patiently writing out the letters and teaching him. And teaching him. Sound by sound. She tried her best, but it was slow going, with Clem and her only knowing a few words of Canary, and Cassian having to learn a writing and sound system. He learned best by listening to Marva and Clem and B, to the radio, to the space comms that would float through the air when they were on a ship. From those, he learned the sound and flow of basic. It never sounded as normal or fast or natural as his canary, but it became passable, became just another accent in a galaxy full of species forced to speak one tongue, and canary became a distant memory to be denied. The best kept secret, after all, is the one you forget yourself. But the galaxy never let him forget. Never let him forget the way his eyes slanted differently than Marva's, or his hair not coily and compact like Clem's. They were his family, and he loved them, but when he searched in their faces, he could never find parts of himself reflected back. They didn't understand, either. That was maybe the hardest part to come to terms with. Of course, they had no reference of what he had gone through. A mining incident was the extent of what they knew of what happened on Canary. He could try to explain what had happened, but Basic didn't have the words to convey what he felt about what had happened, what he had seen. Cassian never got good at jokes in Basic. The tones felt awkward in his mouth, and the punchlines always fell flat. But no one needed you to be good at jokes when you were just a man for hire. He understood that, and stayed silent. It was some years later when Cassian realized he couldn't remember where the verb went in a typical Canary sentence. Something that had been so instinctual growing up was suddenly lost. He was contemplating it over his lunch, and suddenly felt like throwing up. His basic, ever-accented filled the void in his mind instead. He tried to think in Canary, and the words came up blank. It felt a little bit like someone had taken his kidney without his permission, and he hadn't even noticed the scar. But languages were social things, almost living organisms in a way, with no one to speak it with, It had shriveled up in him. It had shriveled and shriveled until it was a sad skeleton of verbs and nouns and colloquialisms. He learned other languages, Alarin, Maya. They were easy enough to pick up, and Cassian had a knack for new languages. Traders and travelers stopped by Ferrix often enough for him to get practice. But there was never enough resources on Canary, practically a dead language after what had happened there, to revive the remains in his mind. Cassian wondered when he had started pronouncing Canary the way it was said in Basic, without the Rolf R. It felt like morning. He had wanted to be angry at Marva and Clem for not knowing more Canary. They had lived there, too, he wanted to scream. Angry at himself for forgetting the language, it felt like losing a part of his people, himself. He had walked into their home, fists balled and a stormy look in his eyes. B had immediately rolled out of the way, receding into his metal shell. They all knew what Cassian was like when he got in a mood. He had stormed all the way up to Marva, sitting in her favorite armchair, a look of concern in her face, and felt the words die in his throat. He noticed how the gray was starting to creep further into her hair, the crinkles around her eyes that used to be from laughter, but more and more came from worry. The way her shoulders slumped an awful lot more after Clem's death, and all the angry words in Cassian dried up. He didn't really want to say those things to Marva. Ma, his ma, they were bitter, poisonous words in a tongue that wasn't his. In the end, it wouldn't be him speaking those words. It wouldn't be Casa. Marva was still looking at him, worried. Is everything all right, love? His chest ached, swelled with the pressure of all the love and feelings inside because, goddammit, he loved this woman. Loved her like the mother he had forgotten. There was very little he wouldn't do for her. How was it possible to love someone so deeply and begrudge them all the same? A part of him hated her for dragging him away from that ship, from his raggedy family into cold ships where people listened to his voice uncomprehendingly, but he also loved her. He thought about her whenever he was off-world, worried about her. When he spoke in Basic, he thought about her and Clem and B. It might not be his language, but it was theirs, and they were his. Because fuck it if Cassian didn't admit that he loved this family as well, him and Marva and B and this small circle of tentative friends he had built on Ferrix. He loved them so much it hurt, and there was already so much hurt in Cassian's life. Cassian gave his best neutral smile, but he felt it waver. He suddenly felt quite small, like he hadn't grown since they had found him, smashing those dashboards on that ship. Everything is fine, he said, in the language that was not his own. He was overcome by a sense of grieving. He needed to find someone who would understand. Cassian needed to find his sister. The end.